I want you to turn to, if you've got your Bibles with you, to Mark chapter 5. I'm going to read it in a moment, but just to, in one sense, give you a background of what we're about to read. We're going to be looking at a woman. This woman, she had struggled so much of her life. She had been in pain. She had been isolated. She had lost all hope. She'd come to a place where, over the years, she'd been let down so many times that she felt that there was no way through. And then one day, suddenly she felt that there might be, just might be, a moment where she could discover what she'd been looking for so long. And so she makes a journey. That journey is one in which, in many ways, she probably has all sorts of mixed emotions and mixed thoughts going through her mind. And yet, as she continues on the journey, deep in her heart, there is an expectation. This could be the day. This could be the day. This could be the moment when I discover what I've been looking for so long. She comes to the point where she is in the vicinity of the one that she has come to discover. She sees that he is surrounded by all sorts of people, all ages, listening to him, getting close to him. And she herself wonders, can I really get to where he is? The determination now fills her heart and her mind. And so, despite all that she faces, she slowly but surely works her way through. And eventually she comes to the point where she is near enough to reach out and touch him. And it brings from Jesus, the Savior, these words: who touched me? This morning I want to say to you, that is a question that God wants to ask you. You see, what I want to point out, as indeed the disciples pointed out, they said, Lord, there's loads of people touching you. But you see, there was only one in all that great crowd whose touch released the transformational power of heaven. Okay, and say to you, church, we can gather Sunday by Sunday, service by service, prayer meeting by prayer meeting, praise meeting by praise meeting. We can gather as much as we want, but still not feel, experience, or know the transformational touch that comes from touching Jesus. If you've just come to do church this morning, you may go away disappointed. If you've come to touch Jesus, you will discover he'll transform your life. And you will never be the same again. Let's read what happened to her as the Bible puts it in Mark chapter 5. Jesus is approached by Jairus, whose daughter is dying, and is asked to go and heal her. And he's on his way to do this. Verse 24. So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately, Her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," his disciples answered, "and yet you can ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." May God bless his precious word to us. I don't know whether you've ever been in a crowd and either had this done to you or done it. You're standing there, and it's happened to me on a number of occasions, you're standing there, sometimes in church, where people get up to all sorts of mischief in Elam, and they come up and they tap me on the shoulder from behind. And the natural reaction is, when they tap you there, you go that way. They, of course, have moved that way. And so you're looking around, who touched me? And yet, I can just see how this sort of impacted upon Jesus. All these people about him, and yet suddenly he's realized that someone has touched him in a way that no one else has. Let's look at this woman. There's a number of things about this woman and the way we can describe her that may identify with us. First of all, I'm going to quickly go through them. She was defined by her weakness. She was debilitated by her affliction. She was diminished by her condition. She was deceived by roads of forced recovery. She was disappointed by past failure. She was disillusioned by shattered dreams. She was devastated by unfulfilled expectations. I can see some of those descriptions can match with me in my life at various times. Times when I, in my journey, have realized that I've been defined by others in certain ways, by the weaknesses that have been portrayed in my life. I can see how that in my life there have been times when I have had hopes and dreams and I've been disillusioned because they have not come into, apparently at that time, the fruition that I was looking for. I've been devastated by expectations that have been unfulfilled. In our journey through life, all of these things can impact us at different times, and it may well be for some of you, you can identify immediately with one or two of those particular circumstances and situations. For some of you, it may be because you are experiencing physical weakness. For some of you, it may be because you had certain hopes and expectations of what God might do in and through your life, and as yet that has not come to fruition. For others, perhaps you have been let down by people and found that they have not kept maybe the promises that they had made to you. For some of you, it may well be that there is something about your life that you feel defines you. For some of you, it's rooted in words that have been spoken to you in the past. Words such as, "You're a failure." Words such as, "You're worth no good." Words like, "You'll never make anything of yourself." And if any of that applies to you, as it did to this woman, I want you to take the journey that she took. I want you to come to the place she came to, and I want you to discover what she discovered. We begin with realizing that in that condition, it created an environment within her heart and within her life where she became desperate for God to do something. See, sometimes God allows us to be brought into a position where we are left with nothing but desperation. But you see, desperation will do one of two things. It either drives you to God or it drives you from God. And here this woman was so desperate for something to happen, so desperate for change to come, that it drove her to God. I don't know, church, about how you are at this point in time, in this period in which you as a church are going through, but what I want to challenge you and say to you is this: be desperate for God. Be desperate enough for God to do what God wants to do, in the way that God wants to do it, in the time that God wants to do it, so that God is glorified through it. And if in your own personal life you are in a place of desperation, there is hope for you. Because that direct desperation can take you to the resources that will be released into your circumstance that will bring transformation. That's why for so many, we hear their story of how they came to faith in Jesus. Now, my story was fairly ordinary. I'd been part of a church. I'd been involved in the Sunday school, involved in the youth group. Yet, really, that was about it. And then there came a point when church took on a new sense of excitement, because the new minister brought four daughters with him. And that was really exciting, because one of them I quite fancied. So I was happy to go to church. Not for the right reasons. I just wanted to be where she was. In the end, I married her, by the way. But in that journey, you see, God was able to use those circumstances to create within me suddenly a desperation for him. Because I saw in my wife that she had something I didn't have. That she had made a discovery I hadn't made. And so as a 16-year-old, sitting in a marquee in the middle of a field, I cried out to God at the end of a service, said, "I am desperate to know you, desperate to receive you, desperate to walk with you." It changed my life. I am here today, and I am who I am today because of that moment of decision way back there in 1965, which shows you how young I am. Desperation driving you towards God. Along with the desperation, it starts on the journey. A journey which needed determination. See, she had got to the point of desperation. Now she was determined that she was going to touch the resources of heaven that were embodied in Jesus, the Savior. She'd heard about him. She's heard about the stories of the blind eyes open, the deaf ears unstopped, the lame walking, the lepers cleansed. And as she heard those stories and heard of those miracles, something within her rose up. This could be the day of my miracle. This could be the day of the change for me. And determination began to drive her. Determination to get where Jesus was. This was not going to be an easy journey for her. I want you to know that determination is so necessary, both in our journey to Jesus, but also in our journey with Jesus. The Apostle Paul sums it up when he compares it to a race, and he says, "I have run the race." He goes on to speak about, "I press on towards the goal." That's all rooted in that spirit and heart of determination. How determined are you as an individual to come into a place of encounter with the living God? How determined are you as an individual to take that journey which will lead you to the place where you not only discover him, but where he discovers you? How determined are you to move in such a way that you're open to whatever change he wants to bring to your life, or indeed to his church? Determination drove her. And as that determination drove her, so along the way there were diversions and there were distractions that would have come. Let's remember, because of the condition of the woman, She was ostracized from society. Because of the condition of the woman, she was excluded from meeting in public. Because of the condition of the woman, the old covenant declared that she had to be completely and totally out of touch with anybody, because her uncleanness was transferable to whoever she touched. She was ignoring all the traditions of that day. She was also ignoring some of the regulations that God had laid down in her determination to get to Jesus. Sometimes we can find that tradition can hold us trapped. Sometimes we find that things that we have seen in the past that has brought blessing and release, they somehow or other, rather than becoming something that blesses us, become something that binds us. And so she continues on this journey. When she gets to where the crowd is, I'm certain that everything within her screams, "You can't go there. You can't push through there. You can't touch those people." But no, you see, she was not going to be distracted. Although she saw the crowd, her eyes were fixed on a goal. Her eyes were fixed on Jesus in the middle of the crowd. Where are your eyes fixed? Where do you focus your attention? Do you focus it on the crowds and being in a place of respectability? Do you focus it on your ambitions? Do you focus it on your dreams? Do you focus it on the restrictions or the limitations or the obstacles that are before you? Or do you focus your eyes on Jesus? That's why the writers to the Hebrews said, "Fix your eyes upon Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith." And so despite the crowd, despite the obstacles, despite the distractions, her eyes were focused on Jesus. And she began to push through. In that community, I suspect there would have been a number of people who would have known her and would have spotted her in the crowd. Maybe even she came close to some of them. I suspect that she would have heard voices of criticism. People speaking to her and saying, "What are you doing here?" People saying to her, "Go home." People saying to her, "There's nothing here for you." You see, the enemy very often can not only speak to us individually in our thoughts and our minds, but sometimes he can even use people we least expect to try to distract us from getting to Jesus. But she ignored all of those voices. She ignored all those criticisms. She ignored all those things that would be spoken over her life. She continued to push through. And the reason she was so determined was because she knew that the only answer lay in Jesus. She was now completely and totally dependent upon what God would do in her life. Her dependency was rooted in an experience she not yet had. She had not been healed. She had not experienced a transforming touch of Jesus. She'd heard about what happened to others, but it hadn't happened to her. And yet something within her drove her to have that expectation that I am going to put all my dependency upon Jesus, who can provide for me in my time of need. I find in my own life that very often in times of challenge I can so easily become dependent on other people or other things. I'm not suggesting that there are occasions when that is necessary and indeed part of God's provision. But what I do want to say to you, church, is that we need to recognize our dependency must always, always appear upon God. To have faith in God is the declaration the Bible makes. Goes on to say, without faith, it is impossible to please God. See, her dependency was rooted in faith. Her dependency was rooted in her expectation that this was the moment of change. Her dependency was rooted in the knowledge that the one who had ministered to others was going to be willing and ready to minister to her. And I want to ask you this morning, where's your dependency? Where's your dependency? Have you that sense of faith and expectation, both individually and corporately, that somehow or other, God is going to bring for you breakthrough, release, and the answer for what you've been looking for? And so she pushes through, dependent upon God, comes to that place now where there needs to be faith put into action. See, with all the belief in the world, there was a necessary step for her. See, she could have stood on the outside of the crowd and said, I'm dependent upon God, and nothing would have happened. She could have got into the middle of the crowd and said, I'm dependent upon God, and she would have not experienced a change. She could have got to the very front of the crowd, looked at Jesus, seen him in close proximity, and believed that he had the power to release her and to free her and enable her to experience the dynamic ministry of heaven. She could have had all of that in her mind, in her thoughts, and it would not have made one difference to her. What was the key? She reached out and touched him. See, we can come into church and have all the faith in the world, but unless we reach out and touch him, it won't make any difference. There's a song that we used to sing. I don't know whether you've yourselves sung it a long while ago now. Reach out and touch the Lord as he's passing by. You'll find he's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He's passing by this moment, your need to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as he passes by. And that's what she did. In faith, she reached out and touched him. Still not knowing whether it would make any difference. Still not knowing what would happen. Still not knowing whether there was going to be any change, but nevertheless, with an expectation, that's the one thing she needed to do. And the moment she touched his cloak, she opened up the resources of heaven and she entered into an encounter with the power of God. You see, the touch of faith, i.e. faith in action, is what releases the resources of heaven. Faith in action is what creates the environment for God to step in and do something. Faith in action enables you and me to discover what it is to be able to know freedom from sin, forgiveness that is for eternity, the hope of heaven when we pass from this life, the confidence that in Jesus, where it seems that things are impossible, all things become possible to those who believe. And we see how, as I earlier said, there were many who were touching him. But they were touching him without an expectation, without a faith that anything would happen. She touched him in the belief that the moment she touched him, something would occur. And when we come into church and gather like this, I trust that whatever Sunday it is, whatever service it is, whatever speaker it may be, that first and foremost, you come as individuals with an expectation that God will touch you. Because ultimately, that is what will change you. That is what will transform you. That is what will bring you into a place of release and into a place of freedom, which is why the Bible says, he who the Son sets free is free indeed. Are you free? Are you free? And there are still areas in my life where I need to touch him. There are still areas in my life where I need to know the transforming power of the risen Christ. There are still areas in my life where I need to know the resources of heaven opened up, pouring into my life, enabling me to experience the supply and the resources of the one whose resources are without measure. Have you touched him? And my prayer for you as a church, as you continue in this journey into whatever the new season is, that first and foremost, you will know his touch. But let me say to you this, that when she touched him and discovered the power of God, life changed completely. Over the years that I've been in church leadership, what I have come to understand and realize is that for some, they get comfortable with what they are familiar with. They get comfortable with there not being change. They get comfortable with that sense of knowing it will always be like this. And churches can very easily fall into that trap. And when churches fall into that trap, then it begins to take them down a road which is pretty disastrous. We need to ensure that when we come to a place of touching him, that we understand that it will not be the same for us again as we go on into the future. For this woman, she no longer had this sickness that had controlled her for so many years. But that meant that now her life would be completely altered. She was now going to be able to engage with society. She was now going to be able to go to the street, into the streets and meet with individuals. She was now able to go and do her shopping. She was able to go and do all the ordinary things of life. If she was involved in some form of occupation, she was now able to go and fulfill that as well. For some of you, you need to know that if you are transformed by the touch of Jesus, do not expect your life to be the same. Coming back to me as a 16-year-old, you see, when I received and experienced that supernatural touch of the power of the Holy Spirit there in that marquee, I said my life was never the same, and it never was. Within a matter of 2 years, God had put his finger on my life and said, I want you in church leadership. And very quickly I began to realize now that all the plans and ambitions that I had set in place, that many of those were going to have to change. I'm not so bothered now, but when I was a youngster, one of my dreams was to own an E-type Jaguar. Those of you old enough may remember what the E-type Jaguar looked like. Those of you young, go to Antique Roadshow and look up Antique Jaguar and you'll see what it is. It had that long nose. I could just imagine myself sitting there. These days, I won't be able to get in it. Or if I got in it, I probably wouldn't be able to get out of it. But that was one of my dreams. I was involved in an occupation, and I'm fairly driven, in case you hadn't noticed, fairly competitive. I wanted to achieve. I wanted to get to the highest place I could get to. I was fortunate that I did receive a number of promotions, but there came a moment in my life where I had the opportunity to go for another promotion. By then I was already involved in leading a church, I was bivocational, and I realized that I had a choice. Go for the promotion and give up the leadership of the church, or give up the promotion. I gave up the promotion. I say that not because of any regrets. I am thankful that I never took that step, because the journey God took me on from there continued to be exciting and is still exciting even today. Life will not be the same when you are touched by the power of God. A church is not the same when it's touched by the power of God. Obviously, my knowledge of church is the knowledge of the Elam Church at Ashendon, where I was for over 40 years. There were seasons where we knew the touch of God. I tell you what, it knocked us upside down. It changed us. It completely shattered us. Things had to change. Things were different. Things we were familiar with had to go. New programs had to come in. At times, it seemed quite chaotic. And yet we knew that we were yearning for more of the touch of God. And so, for this woman, life was changed completely. Along with that, she had hoped to keep quiet. She'd hoped to receive this miracle and not really let anyone know. But you see, Jesus was now about to show her what the impact of being touched by him means. He says, "Who touched me?" And then he says, "I want to see you. I want you here. In front of me, I want you to disclose what has happened in your life. Because in the disclosure of what has happened in your life, not only will that encourage others, but also it will bring to you an affirmation of who you are." You see, she was redefined. She was no longer known as the woman with the issue of blood. She was now known as daughter. Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. See, when we're transformed by the power of God, we're sons and daughters. Transformed by the power of God, we come into family. Transformed by the power of God, then Father, our Heavenly Father, is our Father. We are children of God. So I simply say, as I conclude this morning, have you touched him? Is he saying to you, "Who touched me?" And if you do want to touch him, take the journey the woman took. The journey that resulted in initially desperation, then determination, the readiness to overcome diversions and distractions, brought her into a place of dependency upon God, discovering the power of God being released into her life, and then her disclosing her encounter so that now she was to be declared a child of God. God bless you. Lord, we come. We come with our weaknesses. We come with our pain. We come with our regrets. We come in recognition that we need to be filled by you, to encounter the transformational touch that comes from us touching you. And I pray for every individual here that wherever they may be in their journey, they will know an encounter with you that changes them forever. I pray too for the church here, that as the leadership here continue to seek you, that you will reveal to them your purposes and your plans. But I pray, Father, that there will be an openness, for in the new season there to be new opportunities, changes that may come, but the opportunity along with it for the kingdom of God to be revealed in power. Let your blessing be upon this place. Let your blessing be upon each and every individual who is part of the fellowship here. And may we continue together to walk the journey that takes us to a deeper understanding of what it is to experience transformation. And then may we declare it to our communities, to our families, to all those we meet with. Jesus, touch me. I'm never the same again. May you touch him too. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pronounce the benediction to one another. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
God bless you. Have a great rest of the day. Keep cool and enjoy your time ahead.